Have you ever looked into the night sky and wondered, are we alone? We've learned so much about the world and our universe, and yet we realize there are so many mysteries yet unsolved. If you are interested in the unexplained and mysterious in our world, then join us in The Night Search, a forum for discussion and exploration of the world just beyond our reach. And now, your host for Night Search, Eddie Middleton.
Welcome to our show here on February the 3rd, 2015. I'm in Memphis. We've got Justin Abner up in East Tennessee helping us co-host. And guest co-host tonight is Augie Noss and Pat Risk calling in from Omaha, Nebraska. We'll be chiming in as usual. And Augie, I'm going to let you introduce our guest who's calling in from Norway.
Hello, hello. This is Augie, and I'm a co-host again tonight. Tonight, we are going to explore a very controversial and obscure issue. We know governments are holding secrets. That is what they're all about. Without it, they would be nothing. What you will hear tonight will blow you away. There are mountains of evidence that Adolf Hitler did not die in the bunker. There are government documents saying so. Pictures, testimonies, first-hand meetings with Hitler by a U.S. Air Force colonel in Arizona. Tonight, I have the enjoyment of introducing to you a researcher of the paranormal from Norway in Northern Europe. He has studied the disappearance of Adolf Hitler extensively. And with no more ado, I give you Jonas Ergelin from Norway. Welcome to the show, Jonas.
Yes, good evening, Åge. Nice to be here. Great pleasure.
Wonderful. We have 9:30 in the evening here, Central Time. God, you had to get up in the middle of the night to do this, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. I had to go up 4 o'clock. So it's 7 hours difference.
Four o'clock in the morning. Wow. There were times in my life when I didn't know times when I didn't think 4 o'clock existed.
Yes, but
I know you have done a lot of research, and this issue of Hitler and his disappearance is so well cloaked and covered up. But there, once you start digging, there's a mountain of evidence out there and showing what happened, and there's so much to look at. Where do you want to start explaining some of this to us? Maybe you want to start with his Hitler himself, or maybe possibly some of the flying discs that they made.
Yes, the Black Sun and Hitler is known for the early days where they used to... Two girls, Sigrun and Maria Horsig, they get in contact with terrestrials from through automatic writing and get information how to build a flying saucer. So I think this was a little bit of the background for Hitler to start the war. He had a lot of technology and a little bit addicted at drugs too, but that little bit of the background there, and I can talk a little bit later about this special thing. So no one else I think had said so much about.
Yeah, I know it's an obscure issue, so let's just build the beans tonight.
Yes, and as you remember, all the remember Nicholas Balatoni went to Russia in the Federal Russian Archive to check the skull fragments. They supposed to be Hitler's, and it were belongs to a 30-year-old woman, and not Eva Braun. They tested it to Eva.
Oh my God!
And, yes, so it wasn't Eva Braun, and it was a hole in it. Eva Braun committed suicide. Trevor Roper said with taking a cyanide pill. So, of course. And I also examined the blood on a sofa rest that belongs to a man. But he could say if it was Hitler. But after the war, a film team, a photograph went into the bunker and he photographed. And it's the sofa. It wasn't blood on the sofa. So that's... but the main thing the Russian have unavailable, don't they have any reason they don't want to to people scientists to get test of it, that jawbone.
And
they think that where Hitler, they found it in the corpse in 45, and together with Hitler dentist Hugo Blasche, who were imprisoned in the United States against a dentist and the other dentist assistant Kate Hausmann and Fritz Eichmann were in Russia, and they draw the jawbone they had found in with the outside of the bunker, and they compare it with Hugo's Blasche in United States, and they found out okay, it could be the same. So that's only evidence I think will be. But and all times I talking about this. Many talk about okay, the jawbone. That's that's bad. And it was the jawbone were tested, conducted by the Norwegian radar sonar in 1973. They had also access to several X-rays of Hitler, and it was also concluded that this was Hitler's jawbone. But of course, we know a little bit more, and that is that he had many doubles.
How many doubles do you think
real?
He had?
I think it was four doubles, and one of them was his near cousin. Not so near, but I can they bored the teeth on this doubles exactly the same like Hitler, and the way of walking and all that kind of things. But I can maybe start with other to tell some about some books here, different writers who are made a book about it.
Oh yeah.
Which
are some
the
of those
first
books?
One. We have one already in 1947, Ladislao Sabo. Hitler didn't die in the bunker. It was very early, 2 years later. And Harry Cooper, you know, it's he wrote for a few years ago here in Argentina. And he also went near to Bariloche in Patagonia and take a boat from the center and up the lake Lago Huehuapi, and get information that Hitler lived there, actually at the Inalco farm is the name on the place.
Yeah.
It's a big Bavarian house, and Abel Busty have written two books, Hitler in Argentina and Hitler Exile. he was the first out here. When the
do I have like
yes?
noise in the background?
And we have Ladi Carlos Di Napoli. He wrote a book about the U-boat escape of and the escape of 50 Nazis. And the newest some of the newest books is a Brazilian Jesus Simone René Guerreiro Dias, who wrote Hitler in Brazil, His Life and His Death, claims that Hitler escaped to Brazil and not Argentina. So this is a little bit special. He told about that he married a black woman and lived there until 1984.
Really?
Yes. that's I haven't read the book, but she linked her arrival in the area to a Vatican offer of ownership rights over buried Jesuit treasure in a cave near his adopted home.
Let me ask you a quick question. Yeah. How long before the end of the war do you think that he got out, that he escaped? Maybe I think maybe from what I have heard from Colonel Stevens and so on, he was out of Germany even as far back as a year before the end of the war.
We have the Hitler Youth Conference in February 1945 that were filmed, and that actually were him, I think. So, and it's a special, it's a paper that's classified in that he went out of Austria in 26th of April. So I think it's where the 26th, 27th, 28th of April, one of these days. But he had doubles, of course, after the Operation Valkyrie. He went underground and didn't show the it was dangerous for her. No, for him.
Yeah.
In November 2040, Jerome Corsi got into the act with Hunting Hitler, new evidence that Hitler escaped Nazi Germany. That's a historic bolts of DNA evidence to make that case. So it's. I heard about. I heard the interview. For a week ago, so he had figured out much went to Argentina and looked through a lot of papers and so on.
Yeah.
Augie?
Yes.
Oh, I just wanted to say, Ron asked a psychic friend of ours about what happened to Hitler. This has been a few years ago. But the psychic friend said that he had gone to Brazil and that he had married a woman in that area and that he had been a wine merchant, very successful, and raised a couple children.
Okay.
Does that fit in with what your friend is saying too? You know, does that seem to fit?
I think that I have a feeling of that I have seen a text with Hitler died in 1984. Maybe that could be from CNN, but I have a feeling for 94, that he died in 1984. Right. So that's really interesting. So a little bit sometimes I get freezing.
Yeah.
So directly after the war, they produced films stated that Hitler and Eva Braun committed suicide in a bunker. But a little later, they asked, yes, a little later they asked the question if Hitler is dead, and the Russians found a bad copy of Hitler, maybe inside or outside. They tell different stories. This copy had exactly the right clothes and so on, but different socks than Hitler. I think it was done socks. So they figure out this was a copy. And later on, they found the corpses in outside the garden, and it was burned, and they had to figure out who it was. But it could be it was a lot of corpses, so they could take any one of the corpse, I think. So it's
okay. Yeah, they had more than enough corpses to choose from, I think, over there.
Yes. the war begins in September 1939 when they invaded Poland. With any particular reason, he gets injection from Morel, Theodore Morel, with barbiturates. Totally, when he in the years, he get around 70 different medicals from this doctor. I think this could be some of the reason that they just started to invade Poland. And later, the other European countries, Netherlands, Belgium, Belgium, and France. And here in Norway, they invaded us 8th of April, 1940. And 20th of June, Operation Barbarossa in Russia, 1941. It was in Ukraine. They murdered thousands in Ukraine. And 1 million people died in the blockade of St. Petersburg. But the special here is that in this war in 1943, the General Fopel from Germany met important people in Argentina, where he told that they got money if they could get, if they let the Nazis, the Germans in the country. And that a few weeks after, Juan Perón managed to be replaced as the new president. The military, he was Colonel Johan Perón. So it were a military coup there in June 1943. They took over, and then it was much easier for the Germans to come into Argentina.
Yeah.
Yes, and they received a lot of money from Nazis, and actually, all as early as in 1941, the Gestapo in the German embassy in Buenos Aires asked Eva Duarte if he could date Colonel Perón, and they give her money. I think it was 31,000 pesos, and so in the reality, she was a kind of Nazi agents, you can say.
Yeah.
The both of them received a lot of money. Perón, 200,000 pesos. I don't know how much this is in dollar, but it was a huge amount of money. And after, he haven't so much before, and after the war, he had everything. Could imagine. Yes. In September 1944, they bombed London with V2 rockets. And the last few weeks of the war, they probably used the flying saucer and shot down a lot of planes. They used also the advanced technology to stop the engine to the fighters. The technology were called motor stopper, engine stopper. It was actually you, Åge, told me it, so I checked it a little bit further. And they used to fly outside the plane. They want to stop. And I think if I had right, the magnetic energy thrusters in the saucer make an electrical shorting, and the engine stops. Is that yes? I think that also could be something like that. So they had to, but this was only the two last weeks in the war. So the Britons lost a lot of planes, but it was too late for them. So this was Hanebu, the disc was called Hanebu 2.
Let me put something in here. I know that Colonel Stevens said that they had papers, he had seen papers, classified papers, showing that in the last few weeks of the war, there were one night that there were 800 Allied bombers that left England and flew over Germany and dropped bombs. And these Hanebu 2s, they came up behind them and picked them off one by one by aiming the Priston tubes at it and shutting down the engines so the airplane, the bombers, crashed. 200 of them, just that they lost in one night. And that's when the Allied realized that, hey, we got to do something or we will lose the war.
Yes, and the scientists there also worked with to make the atomic bomb. And it was really a horse race to take them. They needed the heavy water from Norway to make this atomic bomb, and they tried to sabotage this. The Norwegian agents from England blew up the equipment, and 2 months later they built it up again. And then the United States bombed the factory. After that, the Germans decided to move the equipment and the factory to Germany. But they blow up the ferry who were used for the transportation from Rjukan. It's a lake, Siljan. Mm-hmm. And they don't get heavy water. So it's a really horse race to prevent the Germans to win it. So
if they had more time, they would have won the war. If they'd just been able to buy a little more time, apparently.
Yes, a little more time. I think they were 6 months behind to make the atomic bomb. So they had very little time, the Allies there. After the war, 150 U-boats surrendered, but 261 continued without surrendering. 4th of July, the Brazilian ship Bahia were shot by a tornado.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what it was. Of course, a submarine, maybe. And 10th of July, U-530 arrived Mar del Plata. And they were asked if they had shot Bahia, but they couldn't do it because they were as far away when it happened. So it wasn't them. Maybe the later on. But this boat, where not exactly 5:30. It was a yes, it was really a copy of 5:30, and the real U530 were in Germany at that time. So I think, or many others, I think they transported technology of flying saucers to Antarctica with this boat. Because when they come back, they hadn't any logs, and all the papers of the boat were destroyed.
That's the U-boat. That's the U-boat that was showed up in was it Chile or Argentina or?
It was showed up in Argentina. Yes.
Yeah.
Mar del Plata. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The most of them come different places there, and later on we have the U977. They were in Chile, Kiel, 13th of April, 29th of April, Horten in Norway, and they went to Kristiansand in Norway, and left there the 2nd of May. Abel Basti thought he the Hitler maybe could have been with this boat, but the trip down to they have to be under the water all the time, so it's a terrible trip. And the wife, according to Ingeborg Schäfer, the wife to the commander Heinz Schäfer, told that her husband did not bring him to Argentina. So she said this in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But the boat also come a few hours later after 5:30, and I believe the destination were Antarctica with the saucer technology, and and they were when they arrived in Argentina, they were arrested, and both submarine and crew were brought to the United States. So but 9 months later they were released. That was a little bit of these two boats. Was very special because they was bigger than the others. I think...
If it was bigger, it was obviously built for a special purpose, maybe like the Bell.
Yes, the Bell disc. a Spanish spy, Don Angel, Alcazar de Velasco, a former Nazi who worked in the bunker, confirmed in 1985... in 114 written pages to Harry Cooper that Eva and Hitler was drugged by Martin Bormann. So he told the whole history to Harry Cooper in 1985 in this 114 written pages. I can tell about what he writes, maybe.
Yeah.
He said that Eva and Hitler was drugged by Marty Bormann and leave the bunker late in April 1945, and two doubles of them entered the bunker. Yes, and it was Hitler's cousin, Gustav Wehler. Someone say call him Weber, but the right one, I think, is Wehler. He was a distant cousin of Adolf Hitler, and it was Gestapo chief Heinrich Müller, who replaced him and Eva in the bunker this night, April 45. The doubles,
Augie?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just wondering, you know, you're talking about World War II and you're getting to the Glock. I have a question for both of you. And this is a real humdinger. I was researching this for something I was writing a long time ago. You know what Operation Alsace is, don't you? That's where they were watching what was going on with Hitler and the heavy water experiments in Norway. And they were watching the pitch plan going through the Balkans and all of that and everything. And I was asking somebody about information, and they were in the military here in Omaha. We have SAC Air Force Base. And this guy got really upset, and he said, "How did you know about that?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Who told you about Operation Alsace?" He said, "Do you know that's never been declassified?" And I was wondering, could that have had anything to do with this? Was there something so secret that they were afraid he'd leave with it or something, you know?
What do you call the operation?
What
did you call the operation?
It was called Operation Alsos. Alsace.
Oh, yeah, okay, Operation Alpha. It could be Operation Paperclip.
Maybe. I'm wondering if it tied in, because this guy was really upset that I knew what
he
it was.
He was really, really upset because they do that operation after the war with DC-4 flies. From America, fly to Europe, Germany, and fly scientists to America, and children and wife to Argentina. That was 1,000 persons who they fly and help to go down there. That's right. Yes. So maybe
so
that's the same operation.
So they wanted to keep it quiet. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was to keep it quiet. So yes, and
but it's still not declassified. That sort of shocked me.
Yes,
I mean,
it's not unclassified. Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
They drugged Wehler and shot him in the forehead. And the day before the Russians arrived, the Russians found the body of Gustav Wehler, Hitler double in the bunker. Yes. Mueller then, this witness told that Mueller then committed suicide, but the body was never found, and I think it's also escaped to Argentina, China. So
yeah.
As many people there who died, they tell make suicide. Also, Fegelein, Hermann Fegelein. He said he went out of the bunker a few days before the 28th and without permission. And then they said that he was shot because he went out of the bunker without permission. And this man were with him, the Führer, up to when he escaped. His father, Hans Fegelein, the family get an envelope after the war where it's done that he is alive and is went underground.
That's good.
We're at the top of the hour. I'd like to just take a quick moment here to give our call out number. In case some listeners would like to call in with a question or comment, you can call us at 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142.
In 1941, Gestapo Chief Heinrich Müller were informed by the local Gestapo in Breslau that a man worked there. He was almost an exact double of Hitler. He was younger and little shorter. Here's about the double I picked out. Here was cut differently and without no mustache. The man was born in the Waldviertel district of Austria, and when Hitler learned that the man was his distant relative, he won't be a part of it, this paper said. However, Müller eventually convinced Hitler of the security value of having a double, so the man was only used for a few brief appearances after the 20th of July. And he only met Hitler twice, Velasco said here. The double was given extra heel support, was furnished with a set of all of Hitler's uniforms, manufactured by the same tailor, and told it was a few men in the inner circle who know about the whole thing. That was Heinrich Müller, Hitler's bullet, Heinz Linge, and Johann Rattenhuber, chief of Hitler's personal security. And maybe Hitler's military agent, Otto Günsche, probably figure out this as well. And we believe that. And after the war, during the trial in Nuremberg, Linge, Günsche, and Erich Kempke have had the different testimonies about what they see and how Hitler commits suicide and so on. And that's obviously something not right there. But Erich Kempke was a chauffeur to Hitler, and he went out to find petrol to burn the corpses. In the FBI fields, we can read that knew about the escape of Hitler to Argentina. I want to start to tell you about I think that we can go over to because this we have 20 minutes again. Simon Dunstan, Gerald Williams write a book in 2011, and their theory is that at midnight 20th of April 45, Hitler, Eva Braun, and her brother Hermann Fegelein slipped away from the hell and through a secret tunnel in Hitler quarters. They were placed by doubles, as Velasco told. Hitler and his party walked through the underground tunnels to the exit at Fährberliner Straße, waiting for them on a clear roadway. On Hohenzollern Damm was a Ju-52 transport aircraft piloted by Captain Peter Baumgart of the Luftwaffe unit. He told in the trial in 47 that he actually flew Hitler out of Berlin. But it could be Heinrich too, but Heinrich come with Graham in the day before, 26. He were the head of and Heinrich lived 28. So maybe it could be
say anything in the pilot's log or anything that become available of where he flew them? Did he fly directly out of Germany or go to Denmark first or go south?
They go to Denmark first in the north west direction, this day they also made a secret way to fly. They started a secret fly tunnel in the air that day too.
Kind of stealth.
With warplanes, so they could fly freely. They fly in direction Hamburg, and then north to Tønder. An old airport used mostly in World War One, and there Hitler had a speech to the men on this airfield, and Williams and Dunstan tell that they then fly to Travemünde. There they went over to a Long Range U-252 and flew to the military base around 50 miles south of Barcelona in Spain. After that, he Albert Busty told that he know the Jesuit priest in North Spain that is could be true, but General Franco supplied with aircraft and with Spanish marking, they could fly to Fuerteventura on the Canary Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dunstan and Williams tell in the book that they boarded the U-518. And the signal then was sent to Berlin from the Iceland base at Willamintur in Fuerteventura. And instruction Martin Bormann, Hiddles double, Gustav Wehler, and the unknown actors who played this role for 2 days were executed by SS General Heinrich Müller. Yeah. So then we heard the history again. They carried out remains and burn it. 53 days later on, the Willem tell that they come to the coast of Mar del Plata. And the we have one the fur come in they believe this, but we have the FBI file. I have the FBI file here. That's from 21st of September. Then you can read about information given to a reporter in Los Angeles Examiner. And they give this information the 29th of July, 45. And they were told that Hitler arrived there 2.5 weeks after the war ended. So that's maybe they... it's wrong, they mean 2.5 months, but it sounds, yeah, not so good.
It was a very well-planned operation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it was a very planned operation. They had two doctors... and they come, but were two boats, and Hitler were in the last one. The informant came along and told about that it could be Hitler there. He haven't any mustache, and he suffered from asthma and urticaria. He told here in the FBI files. And the FBI forwarded this information to the military authorities. So then they then know maybe he were there. I have another FBI paper. Who tell about a trip to Colombia? That it's interesting because it could fit with the date when Hitler's went into an Inalco farm. He is told that he moved in the, in June 1947. And this paper on page 149 in the FBI paper, you can read about the Colombian that the 3rd of February 45 were offered to add up a safe escape plan for Hitler somewhere in South America. And he accepted the offer and suggested that it was safe to go ashore in Bahia Honda in his homeland. I believe, I think that maybe Hitler went to Colombia, according to this FBI papers. It's the information that Eva Braun died on the way over. But this paper tells the whole story about the Colombian who prepare a journey to Colombia, and they went from Fuerteventura in June 1048, and they often stopped at the Atlantic island Trinidad. It's not Trinidad, but Trinidad, where the Germans had a radio station that was equipped with digital radio equipment from Siemens and Halske.
Wow.
And T-45, yes. So it
all
was,
the way back then?
Yes, no one could decode it, this one, at that time. So so then no one can hear them. This is also possible. It were another U-1048. I have digged in it, and maybe it was U-900 something. And instead of go ashore in Bahia Honda, I heard some read some places they choose Deep Bay. When Hitler did, because Hitler did not trust anyone, so he changed his mind. This Colombian man told that the group had many important drawings of German rockets, V-3, and the interplanetary skyrockets. This is what is actually stand in the in this FBI file. And interplanetary skyrockets, it's maybe the sort of flying saucers.
Yeah.
Maybe. And the complete record of German nuclear investigation. Here it is, early in the morning, 10th of July, they went into Deep Bay and rode on horseback in 6 days and then flew to La Florida, outside of Bogota, at 26th of July. This information come in El Tempo, 24 of June, Colombian newspaper, 1948, and an American National Police Gazette paper in 1953, and National Police Gazette also write about it in June 1968. Yes, there you can see that they know a little bit more, but in these police papers.
To me that in government circles, in the intelligence community, they knew he did not die in the bunker. They knew he was going something.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they covered it up to make sure the people did not know, because they knew that the people would be extremely upset if we knew that the government allowed this to happen.
Well, you know,
yes.
I've heard that the U.S. government assisted in their escape and actually helped migrate a lot of the major Nazi scientists and a lot of the major Nazi officers, and they helped form what is now today like the CIA and all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I can understand why they would cover it up, because if they're involved in it and they used him to essentially migrate all of his technology into ours, you know.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I wanted to ask something, too. You know, people might think, well, why are we still talking about this, you know, after World War II has been over, 60, 70 years or whatever. But I read a book back in the 1960s, and there was a survey taken after Hitler was out of power for 10 or 15 years, and the people were asked, if Hitler ran again today, who would you vote for? And it was over 50% said Hitler. It was very high. I was just shocked out of my mind when I saw it. And
yes,
you think maybe that this is one reason they didn't want people to think he was still alive.
Wow. Yes. In India, they had a school book where they told that Hitler is a hero. And it's obviously many things who should be done
uh-huh.
there. Yes. I think I can maybe talk a little bit about the witness there. I see it's only 8 minutes again. We have the retailer, the carpenter, Hernán Ancín. He met Hitler on several occasions in the 50s, where he worked for a man called Don Lorenzo. But it was... the president of Croatia, Pavlik, was the name with the name Pavlik. And this old president was heavily protected. And Ancín were there from the middle of 1953 to September, mm-hmm. October 1954. And he saw Hitler several times, five and six times. And after that... we think that they separated, Hitler and Eva, because he told that Hitler's wife was a little heavy. She seemed to be just over 40 years old. She was large, well-fed. You could say she wore work and were very sad and were worried and never smiled. So...
Where did this man say that he met Hitler? What continent did he meet Hitler on?
This is in Argentina, in the Mar del Plata. Yes. This president lived at the city near Mar del Plata.
Yeah. Okay.
So he met him there, and the best as you remember, we have the Acorns family in La Falda. This hotel was owned by Ida and Walter Acorn, who were close friends to Hitler, and he sent them a Mercedes Benz to them as a gift. And in September 1945, it's a letter from FBI where this is where they tell that they know this. All about this. And one of them in this worked at the Hotel Eden, Catalina Romero, conferred to have a meet him in this hotel. It were twice in 49, and it's the 8 days later, they moved to their house in the mountains, and there Hitler were in 15 days at this place. Yes, Catalina Gormero began to talk about this in the 90s when he think that the time had passed and it's no problem to talk about it anymore. He didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler, but after the trip to the mountain with the Acorn's family. They didn't get any, he didn't saw him anymore. But he called until 1962. So it stopped in 1962, and according to Lehman papers from a doctor there, he maybe could have dead in 1962 in Paraguay. But I yes, but he had a better health, maybe. So 1984, I think that that sounds also good. But Colonel Wendell Stevens traveled to Ecuador because he was interested in art, and there he met a man called Father Crispy, who were at the monastery there. And I took a lot of photos and of the art he had in the church there. It was a lot of things. And when he came home to Tucson, a friend of him asked him if he could help a woman with her husband's funeral. His name was Colonel Kevin Stafford, the head of OAS for CIA now. And the woman there were Magda Seifeld from Berlin. Magda Stapleford. The background for her was he came from Berlin in 45 to America. He was a girl from Berlin, worked with his father who had the plastic surgery. They made the double for Hitler's and one for Martin Bormann. After the death, they make all of up, drill the teeth, and so on. I talked about before. But 2 weeks after they had were finished in around spring 1945, the Gestapo murdered her father and brother and burned all this clinic. So it was really terrible for her, and after that he became an U.S. agent until the end of the war. So she moved to Tucson and married Colonel Stapleford, and Wendell Stevens showed her the photos of the art in when he met her in Tucson, and he started to show the pictures, and he maybe it's over.
She recognized the photos.
Recognized photos, and maybe that could be Hitler. He had a photographic memory, Colonel Wendell Stevens, so he remembered all the things about him.
Yep.
So he was 87 then when he met him. So it could be Hitler in he met that time. But that would be the last question.
Okay, yeah, this has been so fascinating that, I just let you talk because there was nothing for me to say. Gosh, you covered this so very well and made it so interesting that we enjoyed very much.
Yes, thank you very much, Åge. Okay, then I have to go to
York.
Yes, okay.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes, good morning, yes, okay. Bye-bye, thanks for now.
Yes, thank you all for listening. It's been a great show. Had a great guest.
Yes, this was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, tune in next week, folks. We'll have another great show for you. And all right, have a good night.